Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, let me say from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you are here. And anytime that you're able to come out to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. To the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it's such a good time to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm so grateful to be among God's people this morning. I want to remind you before we get started to keep the main thing the main thing. And you know, I say that every Sunday because it is true that we must focus on keeping the main thing the main thing, and that's keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. And what that means for us here is having a love for one another as Christ also loved us. Having a zeal and a desire for God's word, to learn all that we can so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And finally, it's important for us to have a mind to work, being busy about our Father's business and being kingdom-minded so that we can be the change that we want to see in people. And know this, no matter what, through the ups and downs, through our failures and our triumphs, I want you to know that I love you, and there's nothing you can do about that. In ancient times, there was a king who had a boulder placed in the middle of the roadway, and he hid himself to watch and see if anyone would move this boulder in the middle of the roadway. And some of the wealthiest people, some of the smartest people, the richest merchants of that country came through this roadway and simply walked around this boulder. Many people loudly blamed the king for not keeping the roads in order, not keeping them clear, but did nothing about getting the stone out of the way. A peasant came along, carrying bags of his materials and clothes and vegetables. And upon approaching this boulder, the peasant laid down his burden, his own load of things, his own baggage he put to the side. And he tried with all his might to push this stone that was bothering so many people out of the roadway. And after much pushing and after much energy being exerted to move this boulder, he finally succeeded. And after he succeeded, he went back to pick up his things. And he noticed that there was a purse lying in the road where the boulder had been. The purse contained millions of coins and a note from the king that said, "The gold in this purse was for the person who will remove this boulder from out of the roadway." I said all this because the moral of the story is this, that every obstacle, saints, that we come across in our lives is an opportunity to improve our circumstances. We need to get rid of this lazy, complaining attitude and be more Christ-like. Put on the character of Christ and create opportunities with our kind hearts, with generosity, and the willingness to get things done. So let's think on these things as we get into the lesson this morning. You know, money is one type of treasure, but there are others, and we will see this as we go along in this lesson this morning. But the Word of God says, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth. But Christ says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And I thought to myself, who is he talking to? Right? Who needs to hear this charge? And as always, we need to put this text into the context, which is in Matthew's chapters 5 through 7, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. But I want us to remember that Jesus is speaking directly to his disciples and indirectly to those who are interested in becoming his disciples. So the mindset is kingdom living, right? The mindset that we need to have is being disciplined. The mindset that we need to have is being disciples in Christ. So I titled this morning my lesson, Where's Your Treasure? Now, granted, we have studied Matthew chapter 6 and 19 through 24, but I feel like it's a great reminder and to look at it from some different perspectives this morning. Where is your treasure? What is that thing that you mostly desire? Where is your passion? What is that thing that you long for? That thing that you're willing to sacrifice everything for, willing to die for? And whatever that is, you have to ask yourself, is it temporal or eternal? I think a lot of us place a lot of value in things. So the question is, where is your treasure? Is it focused on the things above or the things on earth? You see, Jesus is not interested merely in being just a part of your life, being in one section of your life, you letting him into or giving him a half of your heart or piece of your mind. See, we often equate Christianity to just coming to church, right? We often equate it to just, you know, reading his or her Bible, right? And doing a few good deeds here and there. But Jesus calls for an absolute devotion of your whole life. He doesn't just want part of it. And he just don't want part that you're willing to give away versus what you want to hold so close and dear to your heart that you're not willing to let go of. I think we sing a song about building our hopes on things eternal. Not building our hopes on things that will rust, things that can be stolen, things that would break down, but we ought to be building our hopes on things eternal, holding on to God's unchanging hand, building that personal relationship. See, he came to make disciples, a mission he entrusted not only to them, for them to continue, but for us to continue as well. And discipleship depends on the devoted commitment of a person who is committed to living a life of pleasing God. And this also includes his or her treasures. So as we look at the passages today, King Jesus is going to talk to us about a vital subject, and that's treasure. Specifically here in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 24, he calls on us to store up our treasures in heaven. And to do so, he challenges us with some significant choices. The first one that I want to look at this morning is, we must choose between two treasures. We must choose between two treasures. So the first one, looking at verses 19 through 21. All right, Matthew chapter 6, if you have your electronic devices with you or your Bibles, I would like for you to read along with me in Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 19, ending at 21. The infallible word of God reads, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So Jesus makes this contrast between two treasures. To be precise, the contrast isn't between two treasures, but between two places to store our treasures, according to Jesus, right? So we can either lay up treasures on earth or we can lay up treasures that are in heaven, all right? He did not say that we could not have or enjoy treasures on earth. So I don't want you to go back and say the preacher at South Fair said it ain't good to have money and have a good life and enjoy those things. That's not what I'm saying. But what I would like to challenge you to think on this morning is, it's not so much about having treasures. It's about what he tells us, how and where the concentration ought to be. See, he tells us not to concentrate on things that will rust or thieves will steal. He tells us to concentrate on things that will last. And that's the difference. It's okay to have these things, but is that your focal point? Is that where all your energy, is that where all your love, is that what you're willing to sacrifice everything for? The things that last or the things that go away? So the first choice we're faced with is to do, what are we to do with earthly treasures? Now, some treasures last and some don't. We can all agree with that. But how can we know which treasures will produce the greatest dividends? That's where the focus has to be. So what does Jesus say? He begins with a negative command. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, right? It's present tense. Stop storing up treasures, right? Where? Upon earth. That is not beneficial to you in any way. Jesus wants us to know that there is a world of difference between treasures on earth and treasures that are in heaven. So just what are these treasures is he talking about? It refers to money, yes, right? But it's much more than money. Here's what I'm saying. We all have treasures, right? We treasure what is or what we value above everything else. That's what you treasure. When you treasure something, you value that above everything else. It is what we are living for, right? So it may be a number on a bank statement that you're living for. It may be a person like a husband or a wife or your children that alone is what you're living for. It may be a house. It may be a car. It may be shoes or tools. That's what you're living for. That's what you put your stock and your value in. It may be reputation. And certainly it well may be money or the aspiration of having money. All this is treasure. So the question is, if I treasure these things, what is it that I'm making my Lord? So treasure is a comprehensive term. So the Lord is talking not just about the possessions that we have in life, but about the attitude that we have towards these possessions. Right? It's the effort that you put in. It's the concentration that you have. It's the dedication that you put in order to acquire these treasures. So how might we store up treasures on earth? Well, here are a couple of ways that one will do that. So first is the approach of the miser, okay? So the miser are people who hoard and have a hard time wanting to do anything for anyone else besides themselves. And Jesus is not teaching that possession is wrong, right? But what Jesus is forbidding is the selfish accumulation of possessions for yourselves. That is to live in luxury while ignoring the needs of others and the things that need to be done around us. That's what misers do. The second approach is those who store up earthly treasures is that of a materialist, right? And these certainly overlap because for a miser to be a miser, he's often materialistic. So materialistic are people who always want more of this world and what it has to offer. I have to have more. It's not enough. I got to have the latest thing, the latest phone, the latest update, the latest car, the latest jewelry, whatever. Materialists live by the keep up with the Joneses philosophy. So the materialist lives as if there is no more life than that meets the eye. There's nothing more that I want than what I can see, what I can lay my eyes on. I want to have, I want to acquire in this life.
And the materialist lives as if there's no tomorrow of getting these things. So it's wrong to have. So I guess the question is it wrong to have money or and earthly possessions? I would say no, it's not wrong. God gives us things richly to enjoy. These things are blessing. In Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, the infallible word of God says, and as for the rich in this present age, change them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. We are truly blessed to have the things that we have. But for those of us who do have those blessings and those possessions, there are two important questions to consider regularly. And that is, what am I doing with my possessions that my Heavenly Father has blessed me with? Am I using them for the Lord? The second one is, what are my possessions doing with me? Are they controlling me? Are they the foundation? Are they the very fabric of what makes me happy and sad? What makes me function? Jesus tells us that there is no preeminence in earthly treasures, as there will eventually meet the folds of moth, rust, and thieves. I think in the first century culture, as a part of ours, a person's wealth is consisted of you know, fine clothes, right? What looks good, fine shoes. And I think that we ought to be careful about being so captivated about materialistic things, right? Because I had a sermon I was working on, it was going to be called What's Aching You? Because I'm thinking about Achan, right? And he was captivated by gold, and he wanted a beautiful garment, and it cost him his life because it meant more to him to have those things than to be obedient to God. It led to his death of his family. Found in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. He coveted some gold and a beautiful garment from Babylon, and he paid dearly for it. We're told in Colossians chapter 3, looking at verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, you should seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. Jesus says, while earthly treasures won't last, there is something that will. There is something that is much more important that will last above all of these things that we have here on earth. Notice that, notice, saints, that there is a choice. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What are treasures in heaven? Well, let's start with this. What is heaven? What is heaven? How important is heaven? Heaven is where God is, right? It is the eternal home of where he lives, and the eternal home for those of us who love the Lord and that are found righteous on the day of judgment. So treasures in heaven are treasures in the sight of God. There are things which we do on earth which have eternal significance. And it's so important for us to understand this. Things which are unaffected by moth, rust, and thieves. So the question is, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? I appreciate you asking me that question this morning. Thinking in terms of an investment. We all understand investment. We understand investments in this life. So what that means is we devote resources to something that we anticipate to yield a reward in the future. That's what an investment is. You put in with the expectation of getting a return. So if we invest in something and we are very interested in its success and that it will thrive, guess what you will do to it? You will be devoted to it, and as a matter of fact, you are willing to put more resources into it to ensure that it will be successful. All right. So you're going to put into it. You're going to do everything that you have to do in order for you not to lose that investment that you have invested in. And you know what you'll do? You evaluate it. You'll check on it from time to time. You're looking on your phone to make sure that everything is where it needs to be. The numbers are where they are. There's nothing that's falling off. There are no strange things going on. And whatever to make, you're willing to make them because you have invested in something and you expect to yield a return. Well, what about the investment that you put in when it comes to your relationship and your spirituality? And when you've made that investment, when you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, I will follow him, I will give him my whole heart, I will give myself away to him, I've invested everything into him. How often have you checked on that investment? How often have you checked on your spiritual investment? What adjustments are you making to make sure that what you have invested in is not going to rust, nor moths are going to get a hold to it, nor thieves are going to get a hold to it? Are you investing in the eternal salvation that we need to be invested in and doing everything that we can to protect it by focusing on the heavenly things that are around us? Here are five ways to lay up treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12, by allowing his spirit to develop righteous character in us. That's one of the ways that you can lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, by doing righteous deeds as salt and light of this world. That's how you lay up treasures in earth. I mean, on heaven. Being genuinely committed to obeying God's word. Genuinely committed to obeying God's word. Genuinely committed to obeying God's word. Doing righteous deeds such as giving, praying, and fasting. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 18. And one of the big ones is by forgiving one another. In verse 21, Jesus makes a significant declaration. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let that sink in just for a second. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When I read this, I thought about it from this standpoint, and maybe this will help you. We could look at our treasures that we have in our possession, and the treasures that you very well hold in your possession will let you know exactly who you are. It will tell you exactly where your heart is. The things that you possess, the things that mean the most to you. We're talking about stuff that you got people that got stuff in shrines and certain stuff that they got. You can't even touch it. Don't touch this shoe. Don't touch that vase. Don't touch this. It means that much to them. But I'm telling you that you can learn a lot about who you are based on the treasures that you have. All right. And it's true. Our heart produces our treasures. What you desire most, you will go after. What you want most in life, you're willing to sacrifice for. What you are willing to die for, that's where your treasure lies. So what I'm simply saying is, then the heart is the control center. It includes our minds, emotions, will, and personality. It's who we are. Jesus says, follow the treasure and you will know exactly who the person is. There's a close identification between our treasure and our hearts. See, if you treasure the word of God, then that's something that you carry with you. People will know that. People understand it in your conversation. They're understanding it in how you operate, in your attitude and your whole demeanor because you carry it very close to your heart. See, the things we treasure control our direction and our values. So the question we have to be asking ourselves, what direction are we going in based on what we love the most and what do we value the most? And at the top of your list, if it's not the word of God, if it's not growing closer to him, understanding more about what he requires of you, then we are in a world of trouble because you're not storing up treasures in heaven. You're storing up treasures here on earth. I want you to remember, I think it was mentioned in class about the poor widow. And maybe it wasn't, but in Mark 12, it talked about dropping two copper coins in the box versus what the wealthy were giving. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contribute out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she has and all she had to live on. See, the life of discipleship can be only maintained as long as nothing is allowed to come between us and Christ, our relationship, right? And see, the overreaching story of our culture today is finance. From the cradle to the grave, economics runs our lives, our households, our cities, and our nations. The economic system, that's what it is. But financial security is an oxymoron. It's the lure of being self-sufficient, right? So what that means is I'm sufficient in myself without God. I'm self-sufficient. When people say that, I'm doing this. I'm making this happen. When what we ought to be is fully relying on God. Not self-sufficient, but God-sufficient. We ought to be depending on him in every way, and we don't create anything. And yet, we all our resources and all the gifts that we have acquired come from our Heavenly Father and provided us with the things that we have. And yet, that's the person that we take out. And I believe that we must break this cycle of dependence on wealth instead of God. Let me tell you this. We can never have the kingdom of God while living for the wealth of self. So what we do is we must choose between the two outlooks. Let's look at verse 22 and 23. It says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Most of us have two eyes that work, I'm assuming, amen? And we are prone to take them for granted. But suppose one of our eyes quits working. What happens? What ends up happening? I want you to think about what we call the lazy eye, right? A person whose eye is lazy, doesn't really work anymore, doesn't function as it needs to. So if one of your eyes is not submissive to your brain, it makes it difficult for you to see. If there's a part of your body that is not submissive to your brain, it makes that particular function hard to operate, right? Jesus uses simple illustration to teach us about a choice we must make concerning our outlook or our vision in this life. To put it simply, if our vision is clear, we see things as we ought to. If our vision is distorted or bad, we don't see things as we ought to. Jesus is beginning to make a statement that the eye is the lamp of the body. Our eyes are the window which light gets into our whole body. Our eyes are the source of vision and the direction for us. It is through our eyes that our bodies find their way. But what happens if your eyes don't allow the light to shine through? Jesus says that there are two possible conditions for our eyes. One is healthy, one is unhealthy. One is functioning as it should, and the other one isn't. So if the vision is crystal clear in terms is you truly do the best that you need to do with the treasures you have because your sight is set on the right thing. You can see clearly. The word speaks of a complete, undivided loyalty. It can also mean generous, right? So on the other hand, the eye can be bad or evil. So if the eye isn't functioning as it ought to on the outlook in which it needs to be storing, this person merely has an evil eye. So what is Jesus saying? He's talking about our vision in life. The eye stands for our heart. Our eyes are healthy if we're generous with our possessions, but our eyes are blind if we're selfish and stingy with our possessions. So if our spiritual perspective is sharp and we can see as we ought to, then it means that our hearts are sensitive to the Lord and it will be fulfilled with the purpose of doing His will, along with the blessings and the treasures we have been graced with. But if our hearts are not in tune with the Lord and our vision is cloudy by the gods of materialism, we're in trouble. So this morning, Jesus is challenging us to make some choices. First, between two treasures, and secondly, between two outlooks. And finally, we must choose between two masters. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. What Jesus is saying here is very straightforward. He didn't give you nothing very difficult to understand. He's saying we simply cannot serve two masters. Specifically, we cannot serve God and money. Mammon, right? The term refers to a material possession. It's that which places it's that thing that we place our confidence in. As man, we put our full confidence, our full assurance in this thing, right? And money is not only coins and bills, but it's also what it can do for you. It's that mindset that, oh, it's not just, you know, I need the money to pay bills. No. Some people go as far as what it can do for me, how it can change my life. So I put all my focus, I put all my attention in this thing. You may wonder, you know, again, money isn't evil, but it's loving it above God that makes it evil, that brings no true return. Jesus says clearly that we can't serve both God and money. And you may wonder why not. Because you can't do both. You can't serve God and money. And the answer is found in proper understanding in the word serve. It literally means slave. Simply put, it means slave. Jesus' explanation, God and money are portrayed not as employers, but masters. You think about that. There is money mastering the lives of men and women today, and they cannot see clearly because they're serving, being slaves to the things of this world. And there is no such thing as a partial discipleship. It's not a part-time discipleship. It's not I can do 20 hours discipleship. It's not, you know, whenever I can clock in discipleship, whenever I feel like wearing this hat discipleship. It is a full-on pledge, a full-on devoted dedication that I will be a disciple of Christ. There's no part-time Christian. You can't serve God and money. Jesus literally is saying it's not possible to be a slave to both. And yet, sadly, we try. We sadly try to do both. And when money becomes difficult, guess what the first thing that we economize? Our work to God. We cut that off. When things get tough, it's not that we say, well, I need to put more focus on my relationship with God. We say, I need to put more focus on this job. I need to work harder. I need to search for higher education. I need to figure out how I can make more money instead of trying to make more sense out of why I am where I am through prayer, through reading God's word, through spending more time around God's people. The first thing that we cut off is God. And I'm here to encourage you this morning that if you're going to cut anything off, you need to cut off the earthly things. The things that you've been putting most of your energy and attention to is the reason why you're in a situation that you're in currently. You have to reevaluate and think differently about the things that are heavenly, the things that are eternal, the things that are going to last beyond this lifetime. I told you, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. I've never seen it. And everything that we have, that you have acquired, I don't care how great it is, how much it costs, it will become someone else's when you leave this place. I always joke with Brother Son. I'd be like, Brother Son, you work too hard. I said, man, you be living your best life. He said, I ain't got but one. And I can't take none of this stuff with me. I can't take none of this stuff with me. We can't take any of this with us. And yet we place more value on it than we do our relationship with God, the giver of the very things that we put all our love and trust in. Why not put your trust in the one who provided and created the very things that you love? I would rather have a closer relationship with the Creator than the thing that has nothing to do with the creation. So listen, the choice is clear. And I don't want you to miss it this morning. The choice between serving the Creator or the preacher, and between the glorious personal God who created you and gave his son for you, or the substitute of the evil, mighty dollar, called money. There's a choice between true worship and idolatry. And again, I know we talk about it all the time, but I wanted you to look at it from a different perspective. When Jesus Christ is not Lord of all of your life, he's not Lord at all in your life. So every day, when our feet hit the floor, you got to remember that we got two choices to make between two treasures, between two outlooks, between two masters. So if you're here this morning, and maybe you've been laying up treasures on earth, maybe you've put more stock into the things on earth than the Creator himself. Again, I really, really, really want us to think on these things. Because if you're here this morning, I want you to know that tomorrow isn't promised. And I know we, for some reason, we wake up every day with this expectation that tomorrow is I get to do everything that I get to do. You get up and you get in your car and you leave home and you expect to get back home. And every day, every single day, we hear about people losing their lives as if that could never be us. I want to encourage you to understand that our time here is limited. And you need to be spending every opportunity that you have, focusing on the things above, investing in the spiritual things and not the earthly things. And if your desire is to put Christ on in baptism and make him Lord of your life, and you're willing to follow him and focus on the things that are above, you can do so this morning. And if you're here this morning and you have obeyed the gospel, maybe you're struggling in some areas, maybe you need prayer, maybe you're dealing with some things that are unfathomable. But know that God is a loving God and he keeps his promises. And if there's any comfort that you can find it in him. So if you're here this morning and you are subject to the invitation or you need prayers, please come now as together we stand and we sing.